in 2008, 9, 10, more like 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, everyone was running from real estate because everyone they knew was losing money. They had bought real estate and lost money. So people were running from it. Now, in fairness, when you buy in a down market, you know, you go, you can fix up a property, say, hey, I'm ready to sell it, and no one's buying it. So you have to kind of, your strategies have to align with the market. Today, you can buy a property at, you know, arguably the top of the market, but you could fix it up. And then probably someone may pay you a premium to buy it from you.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have another awesome episode of our Investing Shorts, and I'm so excited to welcome back Jorge Newberry to the show. Welcome back, Jorge.
Thanks, Suja. I appreciate you having me back.
Yes. Well, I just absolutely was so fascinated and loved your story so much. Just so much richness there. So everyone, please check out Jorge's like main episode. And he also has a book out. Today in our short, we're going to talk about risk and return and just what is required to make to actually expose yourself to massive gains, et cetera. So Jorge, give us your initial thoughts on that.
Sure. I'm not the source of this quote, but I once read many years ago that in order to expose yourself to massive potential gains, you need to expose yourself to massive potential losses. You know, I look back through my life and I've certainly taken some big risks and many of them have paid off. My biggest one didn't pay off and was completely led to my financial collapse. So it's something I think for investors to think about, whatever trade you practice, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer or you own a plumbing company, something that you do that generates your income. If you make passive investments, I'll use our crowdfunding, pre-REO or HP Title, they pay 7%. You know, it's a good return. And it's also passive, something you really just put the money in, just like you put the money in a bank at a CD, but the return's a lot lower, but it's predictable, doesn't require much brain power. On the other hand, okay, let me take a little bit more risk, but now you're buying a rental property. And you know, you definitely expose yourself to more gains because you know the market appreciates, you capture that. You know, it's not capped at 7% or 1% at the bank or whatever it is, you're going to gain potentially a lot. But market collapses, you can lose it all. And you know, you look at the last housing downturn in 2008 and 9, and a lot of very smart investors lost massive amounts of money, you know, doing things that they had historically made money on. And you know, right now the market is, in my mind, is wildly overheated. There will be a downturn. In that downturn, people will lose money. Now, maybe if they took a more conservative approach, if they put their money in the bank, they're probably going to be fine, but they only were earning 1%. They put some money in some more conservative investments, you know, earning single digit returns, they're probably in pretty good shape in most cases. But those, you know, rental property investment. And then let's think about what type of investment. Do you invest in a home or a multifamily that's in a more upscale neighborhood? You're always going to get almost always going to get a lower return. Now, if you go to a more affordable neighborhood, you know, the tenants, you know, in general, the tenants will probably have, you know, there's definitely going to be a more potential income, but also tenants who, you know, in COVID, a lot of tenants of more modest means were the ones that were disproportionately impacted, and that disproportionately impacted their ability to pay their landlords. So that's kind of on the risk scale. You can buy, and it's not just in real estate. You can if you buy a restaurant that has 10 years of performing great and has an established clientele, you'll probably pay a top dollar for that, which will mitigate your gains. But if you buy one that's a turnaround, any kind of business or real estate for that matter, that is has failed, but you can go in there and put your blood and sweat into turning it around. So you're investing your money, you're also investing your effort. And that's where you can make massive gains. And the greater the turnaround situation, almost always the greater the potential upside and the greater the potential downside. So I kind of wish, I shared that myself, sharing that right now with you and your audience. I have to say in my life, I haven't always appreciated the risk of some of the opportunities that I've taken on. I'm always optimistic. So I always focus on the potential gains and don't focus on the potential risk. My formula was to work really hard and make the risk pay off, even when they weren't as easy as I expected. But, as I shared in my book, one big risk, one big failure, and it can trigger something where you give it all up, which is what happened to me.
For sure. Yes. A lot of wisdom there. And that's something to really contemplate on a deep level when you're thinking about your investing strategy and where you're placing your resources, both your time and your energy, as well as your capital. One of the reasons that I like passive investing is because there is limited liability. Although we are getting really relatively strong returns, there's still, you're not getting as high of returns as like the GP is getting, right? Like the GP is going to be, they're having a higher risk and they're exposing themselves to potentially losing, all of their equity and the property, et cetera. And they're also they have a lot more to gain as well. They're potentially going to gain a lot more from being the GP of that property than passive investor is from being a passive investor. So a lot to think about in terms of asset allocation. And what advice would you have for the listeners when they're thinking about building out their wealth, when to invest in, higher risk, just anything along those lines?
So my thought was always to be contrarian, do what everyone else is not doing. Today, everyone's buying real estate. So I wouldn't buy real estate into today. And we're talking, late 2021. But in 2008, 9, 10, more like 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, everyone was running from real estate because everyone they knew was losing money, had bought real estate and lost money. So people were running from it. Now that's when the biggest opportunities are. Now, in fairness, when you buy in a down market, you can fix up a property, say, hey, I'm ready to sell it, and no one's buying it. So you have to kind of, your strategies have to align with the market. Today, you can buy a property at, arguably the top of the market, but you could fix it up and then probably someone may pay you a premium to buy it from you. And now you've made money and you say, hey, so it doesn't mean that it today is a bad time to buy, but it does mean that your strategy today should be in most cases, to get in and get out, because there is that downturn coming. It's inevitable in my mind. This cycle, you look through the last, decades and decades, this market just goes up and down. Any period of extraordinary appreciation, which we've had, is followed by an extraordinary contraction. And people say this time is different. It may be. I don't think so. I don't buy that. And you hear that every time. So don't be surprised. Something's going to change, and it'll probably come from a source that we aren't really focused on today. It could be China. There's a lot of bad stuff happening in China right now. And that stuff bleeds over here. And I'm talking about bad stuff like, the real estate market is having severe challenges in some sectors, and that could ripple over here because some of the same dynamics are in place. There's, a lot of lending has been done at the top of the market, and people that have bought, at prices that are 20 or 30% greater than they were 18 months ago. I think that's a risk, even though it may look like a good opportunity, but in my mind, it's a risk.
It's so funny. It's like everybody wants to buy real estate, or they start to feel like they're missing out in these times of like extreme growth. And like on one hand, you don't know when that growth is going to end. So it's hard to say, well, maybe you should be careful. Everyone wants to buy, and it just creates this frenzy. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously lending practices, interest rates, et cetera. And then all of a sudden it could come crashing down around us in some form or fashion. And, you got to be careful of where you're positioned for when that happens. So do you have any opinions, or not necessarily prediction, but thoughts on like when you would be hoping to exit certain types of asset classes by?
Sure. So we have we own over $100 million in defaulted mortgages, which we are hyper-focused on exiting our positions in the next 6 months. I'm very concerned that there will be a downturn, and I'm probably calling it early, but I'd say 6 to 18 months. It could well be longer than that.
Yeah.
But at some point there is a downturn, and the worst feeling is to be holding, in my case, $100 million in defaulted mortgages and say, if I had only sold 3 months ago, I could have made a lot of money. And now I'm holding these, I could actually lose money. So I need to exit those positions. I'm actively doing that. I'm not buying anything. We bought a few here and there. There's a few like significant opportunities, but they're small. We haven't bought anything big since February. And
Who would you be hoping to sell these mortgages to?
Well, because as you just described, everyone wants to buy today. That includes mortgages. So we buy defaulted mortgages. We then try to work with the families to get them to on a payment plan, on a modification. Now, if they pay for 6 or 12 months, there's a big market from some of the biggest hedge funds in the country that'll buy pools of reperforming mortgages at significant premiums over what we paid for them as a non-performing mortgage. So that's our business. And right now, because the market's so strong, and these are name brand, you know, biggest, some of the big hedge funds in the country that are paying, in our case, like 92 cents, somewhere, you know, in the low to mid 90s of principal balance for a reperforming loan that could have been in foreclosure 18 months ago. We made a payment plan, the people have paid it. And as a result, we're able to sell it at a big premium. So these are some very smart people. But the reality is, you know, we sell to these Wall Street firms, and then they package these up in big securitizations. So they're not holding it for the next, you know, they're not holding it that long. So they need, and then they package it in securitizations. And then there's a whole nother round of investors who buy those securitizations or buy interest in those securitizations. So that is.
Which is like kind of interesting, because that's what happened right in 2008. And then there was like a whole crash around that, around mortgage-backed securities. And so it actually is, I mean, like, so people do say it's different this time around, like, because, and you don't think it is.
No. Time they say that.
So do you think it's going to be another mortgage-backed securities crisis?
I don't know mortgage-backed securities, what's going to prompt it, but certainly something has to change in this market. It can't just keep going up.
Yeah.
And I mean, think about this, and I can't say I have data to back it up, but I do have data in terms of, you look at the real estate cycles for the last, you know, 50 plus years, I'm probably going back 100 years, you can see this, it's an ebb and flow. It's like a up cycle, down cycle, yeah, and it just absolutely keeps happening. It's not changed, it will happen. But look at 2007, 2008, people started saying, hey, this is overheated.
Absolutely.
And they were, but the brightest minds in on Wall Street are saying, no, we're doing our models, we're fine. This market, you know, they today I hear people saying, hey, you know, maybe it'll plateau, maybe it'll go down 5 or 10% and then start going up again. I don't see that. I mean, history says that is not the case. Will be a big correction.
Yeah. What's so funny, like just thinking about 2007, 2008 is, it's not like no one knew exactly what was coming, but like there were plenty of articles in the news, and at least in 2007 is when I remember reading about like these subprime mortgage loans and things of that nature. So it's like, there was definitely rumblings. And then you're saying that the Wall Street was saying, no, we've got it under control.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
At the time there were a lot of bright people. I mean, there were certainly people saying, hey, something's going to go bad. Just like there are people today. It's not just me.
Yeah.
But then there's a whole nother group that's saying, no. I mean, Goldman Sachs put out a report recently that's saying, hey, in 2022, they predict that the real estate market will rise another 16%, something to that effect. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was a substantial amount. And so if you read that report and you say, this is Goldman Sachs, you're thinking, well, there's smart people there that next year, if it goes up 16%, I should be buying today. And at the end of next year, my property will be worth 16% more. And the reality is that could be true. No one really knows. I'm not saying that's not true, but at some point, maybe it does go up another 16%, but the following year, the likelihood will just keep increasing that this thing will go the other direction. And And if it, let's assume they're right. So by the end of 2022, we've had 16% on top of the 20 to 30% gains that we've already had in the last 18 months. So now things have risen, you know, 40% plus since COVID started in a 2.5 year span, on top of the 20 or 30 or 40% that had already risen since the housing crash, Yeah, exactly. So that is, that's a lot of appreciation, and that has to stop. It's a pyramid scheme. I mean, that it's going to be the last, everyone makes money up until the last people in.
You know, one thing that I learned in history class was that the poor always get hit the hardest. And it seems to me that certain, yes, I mean, a big shakeup, who knows exactly what's going to happen, but it seems like in the defaulted debt world, you know, that's oftentimes people who are of lower income and just a little bit more on the edge financially. And so, it does seem to make sense that of any industry that would be the one, that would be one that gets hit. I mean, that sort of group of people are going to get hit first, which means defaulted mortgages are going to get hit first. Mm-hmm. So you have to be especially careful in your asset class. Would you think that's correct? Or what do you think in general about that?
No, I would agree. But I think, you know, so part of the problem here is, or this time and last time, you know, there's a lot of people, let's say in California, that, especially California, which really is particularly susceptible to these wild swings in the market and very great appreciation, but also great contraction. There are a lot of high-end, you know, $500,000, $1 million plus homes that have experienced extraordinary appreciation. And there are also people who buy those homes who, when the market adjusts down 25% and they owe, you know, $1 million on a home that's now worth 750, you know, then they start thinking, does it really make sense to keep making this mortgage? Does it turn into strategic default? And that happens because it's logical that they would. And in some cases, and that just fuels the market going the other direction. So I do agree mm-hmm. the lower incomes are going to be most susceptible to, I mean, they were certainly disproportionately impacted by COVID. And I think that those of modest means will be hit hard. There's less of a safety net than those of higher income. So all that'll happen. But I do believe that homeowners and property owners of higher value homes will also be significantly impacted because this appreciation has been so extraordinary. And you know, they may be able to weather it. And that is one thing. The interest rates are so low that this money
will be able
that,
to
that in some cases they have the income to afford the payments.
Yeah.
But the problem is that situation where you get where you owe, you know, 25% more, or it could be 40 or 50% more than what the property is worth. And that really, then people really scratch their head and say, this doesn't make sense to keep this home. And that happened last time to a very large extent. And I think that's the risk here. So I don't think that it will just be, it may start with those of modest means, but they'll be the first, but there'll be others.
You bring up an interesting point with like the really expensive houses that have appreciated so much, you know, millions of dollars potentially in California. And those, if those go down in value by 25%, if someone bought at the top of the market, it goes down mm-hmm. by 25%. But so that's another, you know, another end of the spectrum, like the really high income and then the really low income. I mean, I guess I'd like to think that in the middle, people are slightly more protected.
You would hope, but I think that's being time. The reality is no one was really protected. Everybody got hit. Everybody's home value went down. Maybe those who are financially have safety nets and have greater resources, greater incomes, may be able to weather the storm. Certainly. I mean, if you got through 2008 and your property value dropped 30%, 40% in some cases, then it's all been regained. So if you did weather that storm, you know, starting in 2012, 13, things started ticking up and especially over the last several months, the last 18 months, you've regained everything and then some. So survival wasn't a bad idea. It's still at the time when everybody's losing money in real estate, which was happening back then and was over encumbered, people were walking away and it made sense to do so for a lot of people. So I don't see that people's mentality towards that will not change.
Yeah, for sure. Well, definitely very important to contemplate these market cycles and dynamics. And, you know, I mean, everyone wants to feel good when things are going up, but I think people who've been through the ringer, which, you know, you certainly have, and many people certainly have at this point that are in real estate. So there's a lot of sobering thoughts that we need to carry forward with us into the future as we make decisions and as we think about how we want our portfolio to be positioned. It's always great to have a lot of cash when blood is in the streets, right?
Oh, so, yeah. Actually, I was just talking about this yesterday with a hedge fund manager. And the question was, what you don't want to do, and we were talking about buying real estate in California, they finance fix and flip homes. And the thought was, what you don't want to do is get exposed too much to today's market, because then when the market turns, now you're so focused on, hey, protecting these things that maybe you overpaid for, protecting all the assets you overpaid for, and your attention is drawn away from all the opportunities that have now presented themselves. So that is a big focus that people need to be aware of. I mean, their focus can go one or two places. And if it's like renting, because this is a natural thing that'll happen, is once the market turns, things that people fix, homes that people fixed and flipped, now they're thinking, well, I'll just rent them and weather this storm. But that gets old, and now they're in the property manager business, and now the market's crashing. There's tons of new opportunities, but they can't get to them because they're so focused on tending to what they already have. So that it always happens. It'll happen this time, is my prediction.
Yeah, for sure. Well, excellent food for thought and lots to contemplate there. Jorge, again, you have to go back and listen to his story. It's absolutely amazing. And yeah, very sobering as well. So thank you so, and inspiring more than anything else. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Sure. I appreciate that. I'd love to come back anytime in the future, especially when the downturn hits. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So you can go to AHP Title and Priario. So AHPtitle.com or Priario.com. You can reach out. Those are our two current crowdfunding offerings. You can reach out to me or anyone on our team, and we'd be more than happy to discuss and to work with you on investing or any other questions that you have. And the book is Burn Zones. It's available on Amazon, Walmart, other places like that too.
For sure. And highly recommended, both of those. So I hope you reach out to Jorge and get connected with him and his firm and his book. Thanks again so much for coming on. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Suja.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.